Here's the big question. How do we as salespeople develop the right mindset, tactics, and skills to thrive in today's ever-changing, technologically advanced world? Welcome to the Sales Lab. This podcast is dedicated to the answer. All right, welcome to the Sales Lab. Today we have Casey Wallace, a wonderful rookie realtor. That's like a new realtor to the business, only a 1 year and a few months in. And we're going to talk to her about how she did such a great job her first year and had so much success. But before we get into that, I want her to introduce herself to the audience and just kind of give everybody like a sense of who Casey is so that we can really start to buy into, you know, Casey's world. So take it away. Who is Casey Wallace?
So I am a fun, outgoing person, but at the same time, I'm also an introvert. So that's kind of interesting in sales.
Yeah.
I have a daughter and a husband, and we love glamping, as we call it, and off-roading and some motorsports and things of that nature,
great,
which is an interesting balance with, you know, this occupation. And he is in industrial air compressors, and I had a previous career, obviously, to this that brought us here. So it's been an interesting point, but I love house shopping, and that's kind of what got me here. And I love this career choice. I'm very excited about it.
Awesome. So what did you do prior to getting into real estate?
So for 20 years, I was a small business owner. I owned an association management and lobbying company. So not association management and real estate, more nonprofit trade associations.
Okay.
I was the executive director of 6 nonprofit trade associations, running from car repossessors to court reporters, home inspectors, blood bank. Lab technicians. So I did it all, often simultaneously, like which is interesting because you have to really check the phone and make sure you're answering the right line the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also the chief event planner for our organization and ran a staff of 7. So this is a bit of a contrast to that.
It doesn't sound like you were busy at all doing any of that, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. And in that, when I had my daughter being a partner in the firm, I was able to work remotely. So I've been working remotely for 10 years, which transitioned beautifully into this new career choice.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Okay. And so was the house hunting love really what kind of got you into it? Or was there someone that encouraged you? How did you find yourself into residential real estate?
Both of those. So my business, it's interesting. Nonprofit trade associations aren't as needed today as they were back in the day, for lack of a better term. And it ended up being a model that memberships were dwindling and the business was suffering. And so the business struggled. And so I found myself, you know, with a corporate bankruptcy and needing to start over. So that was a big wake up call. And instead of sulking my tears about it, I was like, now's my chance to do something different. Now's my chance to find something, you know, that I'm really passionate about. And I actually wasn't even thinking real estate. It was outside influences. Everyone's saying, well, you know, my mom and my sister had both gone through a home purchase where I was like, okay, these are the homes we should go look at. We need to go do this and we need to do that. And they're like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you getting your license?
Right.
And I had the luxury of time, you know, something that I hadn't had for the previous 20 years. And so I took that break in employment and got my license as fast as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And was very, very nervous going from a salary to commission-based structure.
Yeah.
And I reached out to my personal agent, who was the agent for the family since 2001 and recently become a broker. And I was like, Debbie, let's book an appointment. I want you to tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. And one thing I know about her is she is an honest person. And she did just that. She sat with me for 2 hours and just told me everything. The good, the bad, the ugly about this type of employment. And that day I went home and I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And ordered my materials and started getting my license right away.
Awesome. And so you got your license when?
November 22nd, 2018.
And you probably have the time that you received it too, right?
Yes, it was very like, you know, with California, you have to, you know, there's breaks between when you can do one module to the next and all of that. So I did it as like as fast as humanly possible and took my test the first opportunity I could. And I was definitely, when I walked out of that classroom with my, you passed, and I passed on the first try, which is, I've heard, perfect, also a little hard. Not everybody does.
That's very true.
You know, I was really excited and then nervous because I'm like, oh gosh, now I have to do this.
No, I did the same thing when I first got my license in 2006. Mm-hmm. California didn't require you to have all three classes done at first. And so I was able to just take the one class, take the test. I did it all in the minimum 17 or 18 days. Right. Took the test, passed it the first time, and then started, and then had to take those two classes, you know, within
later
the first year or two, whatever it was. I don't even remember now, but
Now
I know they've changed things, but yeah, they still have that, those parameters that you have to follow. And, and it's funny that there's a lot of people that I've talked to that are like, I just did it as fast as I could so I could get started. Right. So, right. So November of 18. And so you're right around the holidays at that point. Mm-hmm. So how did you start at that time, or you kind of waited until the holidays were over? How did you start your business?
Well, good question. So one of the things that was really important to me was I didn't want to appear new. Uh-huh. After being a veteran in my previous career and somebody that had a ton of experience, I wanted to convey that confidence of a seasoned agent. And I wanted everything about me to appear seasoned. Mm-hmm. So I had actually invested a lot of money in professional headshots and marketing. So I didn't have a huge budget with just coming off of no longer having a 20-year career.
Sure.
So I went for really high quality headshots and some business cards and a couple little pieces of signage. And then I focused, knowing we were going into the holiday season. I used that time between November and January to get my house in order, to get that structure and get the branding and the things I wanted. I'm with Next Home, which I absolutely love, and love their support that they have, especially to newer agents.
Great.
And really kind of got my structure. And then in January, I hit the ground running with social media marketing. Researched between basically October, when I knew I was going to be getting my license soon, to January, about how to best market myself and the methods that I thought worked best with my personality.
Sure.
And social media was free and it just takes time. And that was something I had. And I absorbed and watched every webinar and read every article and did everything I could to learn the best about how to utilize social media for marketing. And so in January, I had my headshots, I had my branding, I was able to kind of roll into it. And it was interesting because I read so many different articles and I decided to not say, oh, look, I'm now an agent. I just started rolling into sharing listings and open houses as if I had been doing it for 10 years.
Yep.
Because I didn't want it to look like I was new.
Yeah.
And so many people out there don't kind of remember what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of easy to slide on in there and just all of a sudden associate my name with real estate.
Yeah.
So that's how I started. That was my gear up. And then all my effort has been and still is very much focused on social media. I don't do cold calls. I don't do door knocking, which is out of character for most agents.
Yeah.
But it just, I'm just not the personality that responds to that type of marketing. And sure. So I opted not to do that because to me, it felt out of character for me. And part of sales and this job that we do is, you know, genuine and authentic and things of that nature. And so I felt if I did something that wasn't authentic to me, that it would come off that way.
Sure.
And I was already faced with you know, not wanting to appear new. So I already had one obstacle in my way. I didn't want to come off as not authentic.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. So I want to dive in a little bit to what you do in social media, but let's talk about, let's tell everyone what your results were in your first year in 2019 was your full first year. So what was your result?
So I ended up closing 11 sales, which equaled to 5.1 million of inventory.
Awesome.
And that enabled me to achieve a Master's Club award for my region, which is the top 10 to 15% of agents in my county.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I feel, I imagine that felt good, or did you not, did you know that that was good, or did you feel like, hey, this is probably what everybody does?
No, that was my goal. And my goal was to close between 10 and 12 my first year. I knew the average was four, you know, most agents sell four a year. And I knew it was kind of lofty for brand new.
Yeah.
So I knew the battle ahead, which I think is what set me up so well, because I knew in January, this is not going to be easy and I'm going to have to work hard. And I did. And the biggest thing was just being consistent and being present, you know, as I did that. But very happy with my success.
Definitely. Absolutely. I think anybody would, you know, just starting out would love that success. And I think there's probably some seasoned agents that wouldn't mind selling 11 homes a year right now.
Yeah.
So congrats on that. So let's dive back into what specifically you do with social media. Not too much of a deep dive, but you know, what, first of all, what social media do you use? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Is it both? Is it multiple, Snapchat, all that stuff? And then kind of what are some of the things that you do to generate that attention and business for yourself?
So I focus mostly on Facebook and Instagram. That was what I was familiar with and what I knew. I also learned from all my research is kind of pick a lane. You know, if you're good at all of them, that's great. I knew I had to hyper focus on one or two to be the best at it. So my method was consistently posting, intermixing personal life and work stuff. And I also was very strategic in friending new people. I would friend people in my farm. So in my neighborhood was my target, and those with a common interest. So with having that off-road and camping interest, I actually had already belonged to several Facebook groups that focused on those pastimes. Yeah. And I started friending people in my area that share the same passions.
Very cool.
And with that, you know, when you're involved in a Facebook group, you have to give as much as you take. And so it was just being active and present, constantly responding, making sure that I don't post and run, and just focusing on that and building that. And I made that my mission. You know, every day I need to find something of quality to post. Not just, you know, recirculating or sharing articles. I want people to get to know me as a person and at the same time be able to pepper in maybe a listing or an open house or, you know, something that's going on in our work life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so essentially what you're building your sphere through social media, right? Because we always talk about in this business that your sphere is that one thing that is going to travel with you throughout your career
that's
and can
be
the most beneficial business-wise for you.
That's right.
And so if you're expanding that with your common interests, you're not forcing anything. You're just like, hey, I like to camp too. Let's talk, you know, here's what we used last time we went out or whatever it was. And it's just engaging. And then they wind up clicking on your profile, see that your realtor potentially have a need or have a referral for you. I'm sure that's probably how it went, right?
That is exactly how it went. And I, one of the, my strategic methods was making sure that my headshot somehow talked about, or my profile picture somehow talked about being in real estate.
Okay.
And that way they could kind of see in a snippet, you know, our company colors are orange and gray, and they could see orange and gray and they're probably like, why is their picture have an orange background? Well, you know, if they clicked on it, they would see that I'm in real estate. Okay. But the key with those Facebook groups is definitely talking about the topic of the group and not saying, come buy a house for me.
Right.
And it's worked actually for 2020. I was able to pick up a client solely based on a Facebook group and interacting with me that now in about a month will be listing their house and purchasing a house. So awesome. It's already starting to work and we're only a year and some change in.
For sure. So one thing that I noticed about being connected with you on Facebook, and even though you pepper in the personal and the business and all of that, what I notice about you is the vibe is positivity. It's uplifting. It's very, everything about your posts seem very kind of like bright and energetic, even though it's just words for the most part. And sometimes you have some graphic and sometimes you have a photo of a house, whatever, but everything just has that like vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Do you do that on purpose or is that just who you are?
That's just who I am. So I want people to have a fun experience. In our circle of friends, our social circle, you know, a lot of people talk about how we're, my husband and I, you know, we're fun and we're funny and we're, you know, good to hang around. Like we're always a good time.
Yeah.
And I wanted that to come across because while this business is very serious and you're dealing with large sums of money and people's largest investment, their home, like the, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stress that comes with that. I want the message to be, hey, I know this is stressful and I'm going to try to take some of that stress for you, but we're also going to make this a fun experience and a light experience. And I'm an eternal optimist. And so I think that's probably what you're seeing too, is always finding the sunshine and the silver lining in any situation. And that helps too when we are, you know, if there's a delay in a closing or there's an issue, to be able to say, okay, well, this isn't the end of the world. You know, here's what we're going to do, and having a plan. Part of who I am that I probably should have mentioned in the beginning is I'm very detail oriented and very organized, and I had to be with my prior career juggling all those hats. Yeah. So, that's when that kind of administrative background skill kicks in, but then the vibe and the positive energy that I can give calms them down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's just kind of who I am, but I'm glad that it reads that way.
No, it totally does. And I see it. I now see it in the background, but I also want to talk about one of your posts on Facebook, because mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool. I actually screenshotted it, showed it to my wife. So you're really into French bulldogs, or you have a French bulldog, right?
So our mascot for Next Home is a French bulldog.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and his name is Luke, and he's on all of our listings, and we have little cardboard Lukes. Like, it's great. And yeah, you see one back there because my office is covered in Lukes. And I have two Boston Terriers, which are almost like French Bulldogs, but not really. Yeah. And so that is part of the brand that I love and I embrace and I think is like so fun, which is part of the reason why I love Next Home too, is just all of that. And, you know, dogs are, you know, pets you bring in a home. So I really resonate with that. I'm also a dog person. So
there you go. As am I.
Yeah.
Cool. So the post I want to highlight is where you said, hey, I'm going to be at this coffee shop. Come and have a coffee with me. I'm going to give you this little coffee mug as a gift, mm-hmm. which I'm assuming is the Next Home kind of tchotchke kind of thing. Yep. And you just say, hey, let's come and talk about real estate. Let's come talk about whatever you want. I'm just going to be there. You know, it was a really cool post. I actually wanted to screen share it, but I didn't have it set up to do that. But it's a really cool thing that you do. So how is that? How has that kind of transpired into new conversations for you? Do people actually just take you up on it?
I've had two. So not huge, but considering people's reluctance to leave the house, I think.
And right now, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's worked out great. So the one client that I got from the UTV and camping circle took me up on that offer.
That's awesome.
And again, that's now translating into two transactions, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then I had one more who was actually somebody who wants to be an agent and kind of an up and coming, wanting to pick my brain about how I've been doing, which I thought was also really fun. I mean, I'm not a broker, so I'm not recruiting, but I am also an open book and willing to share anything that I have learned because people have been so gracious to share with me.
So
it's worked, and I think it's a fun post. I'm glad you like that post because It's so true. Like, you know, I put in there like quiz me on office trivia because I love The Office and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was a cool thing.
And it's true. It's like, I don't mind buying you a cup of coffee just to get me out of the house and to say I'm doing stuff, you know? So it's genuine and it doesn't necessarily have to be about real estate.
Totally.
But I do think that it's kind of a fun thing to throw out there.
Yep.
And I tried to do it in a way that wasn't like, hi, I'm going to buy you coffee and now let's talk real estate. I wanted it to be softer touch, like get to know me as a person. Maybe you might not have a need right now, but maybe you will in 3 years.
Totally. Right. You know? And, one of the things that we need to do in our business is to cultivate those relationships, right? So they have to start somewhere, right? And you're cultivating a relationship over time by keeping in touch and giving out good information and also just being genuinely who you are. And that's where the know, like, and trust factor comes in. So, you're hitting it on the head. So it's obvious that you either have some great guidance or you just have some great thought processes to like, hey, let me just do something a little different than everybody else is doing. And let's get out there and do it.
Well, thank you. That's nice. Yeah.
For sure.
Probably a combination of both.
Okay. So what's your goal for this year?
So my goal for this year is 15 transactions. And then my little bit of a reach goal is 20. So that's not quite double, but kind of tiptoeing around double. Right now I have closed one. I have two that are going to close today. I have a listing that goes live tomorrow.
Perfect.
Two more listings within the next 3 weeks and a purchase. So we're at seven.
Yeah.
In the pipeline in some stage or another.
That's great. And so have all those, and one of those things I wanted to ask from the very beginning, was your first one to three transaction, was that people you already knew or family members, or were they all just brand new kind of cold people to you?
Great question. So number one was an online lead. So completely cold. Number two was someone I met at an open house. So that's another thing with social media. I also do a lot of open houses. I love open houses. I'm just that person who thinks they're fun. And number three was ironically somebody in my old profession that I had known, colleague, but we were in competing firms for the same business. And so I find that completely interesting too, that the top three were from totally different sources.
Yeah. And one that you at least had an acquaintance with, the other two were brand new meetings. You just came in from online or you met them at an open house and you sold them on you. Right. And that's the key element. Right. So I'm glad you brought up online leads. So what type of online lead was that? Were you, and what systems are you using right now in your business?
So that online lead was through HUD that I got from my broker. So she was seeing what I was doing on social media and was really anxious to help me kind of get off the ground, and which I love about her. Mm-hmm. And so she had actually received that call and passed it on to me. So I was forever thankful for that. Mm-hmm. So as far as other online leads, it's mostly, social media. I don't invest in any Zillow or realtor.com or anything of that nature. My broker did invest in realtor.com for a while and we weren't finding them as lucrative. And I think that's because my style isn't a cold call door knocking style. And so maybe that's why I'm not hyper aggressive. Sure. And so right now it really is social media and open houses are my main lead generation. My number three transaction, which also happened to be my first listing, she had reached out because she's like, oh, I saw you're doing real estate now on social media, because she was watching a video I posted at an open house. And so I thought that was really cool because that was just a couple months in and it was already clearly she was paying attention.
Right.
And just seems to have really worked, because most of the people that reach out, even if we haven't done a transaction yet, are because they keep seeing me in social media and know that that's what I do now.
Awesome. And so are you just doing just posting, or are you actually placing ads on Facebook as well?
So mostly posting and stories. I'm doing a lot more stories now as I'm learning more about them. And I have done paid Facebook ads for listings and open houses.
Okay.
I haven't done kind of a brand recognition type Facebook ad, but I would like to try that this year. That's on my list. And I actually do postcard mailing, so completely different than social media to reach a different demographic. And I've gotten the lead I'm listing tomorrow is actually from a postcard mailing. Okay. So it's so weird how it's a plethora of combination of things, but by and large, most of them know that I'm doing this and reach out because of social media.
Sure. And so as far as your traditional advertising, we'll call it with the postcards, did you start that from the very beginning or when did you start that endeavor?
I did. I started that with my first listing. I did a just sold postcard like probably so many of us do.
Sure.
But I did change the method as I went along. So that was my first one that I actually focused on the house. And then I turned it to focus on the person receiving the postcard. So I would have a little, hey, I just sold this in your neighborhood over here. But then I was like, why choose me? And then I would talk about the different things that I do for my sellers. I like to think I offer a different combination of services than most of the people in my marketplace.
Okay.
And I would focus on that in the postcard while using our bright orange branding and our kind of the fun graphics and trying to make it more visual. So if they never read a single word, they would at least have a hint of what I do as they toss the postcard into the trash, you know?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I've always talked about is, you know, we know that those postcards are going in the trash. The idea is we just have to capture their attention from the mailbox to the trash can.
And then,
of course, the repetition of it, getting in front of them as much as possible.
As much as possible, because eventually it's going to stick.
Totally. So if you started from your first listing, which was one of your third transaction, right? And so were you very consistent with postcard mailers throughout the year? How often do you send out postcards?
So right now I'm not doing them as much because, again, starting out, you have a more limited budget than hopefully I will in 2 years. So with every listing, for sure, I was able to expand by another 100 or 200 homes. So expand that radius out to reach more. It helps too that I don't know if it's my farming efforts or if it's just luck, but most of my listings or all of my listings, except for one, has been in my farm. So in the areas that have been seeing my marketing and where I've been focusing my Facebook ad efforts and where most of my sphere is and things of that nature. So I think it's like a layering effect that is happening with all of the postcards. So I've been pretty lucky in that I expand. I would say last year, I think I did 4 postcard mailings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So not a ton, but not a small amount.
Sure.
And then I have one more brand recognition one I'd like to do this year. And then, of course, now that I have a couple listings coming up and one that's about to close, continue with that method of the way I've been doing them for 2019.
Mm-hmm. And so everything is real estate related messaging on the postcards, right?
It is. The biggest message is what I do for you. If you're a seller, this is what I do. And
so your value proposition, basically.
Yeah.
Like, why hire me?
Yeah. Why hire me? And a lot of photos of those things. So some of the things that I do is offer a free staging consultation, and I do professional printed brochures. I program Echo Dots to talk about the home in the listing. So these are kind of different things.
Yeah.
And I take photos from those and make it a very visual presentation or very minimal text. And I think that helps with our constant need to absorb information.
Right.
Sometimes a visual read is easier than a lot of text.
All right. And so the closing out this traditional marketing, when was your first listing from your farm from that? Like how many months in until you got a listing from that?
That was April.
April. So 4 months in.
4 months in. Mm-hmm.
Not bad. So you must be in a completely non-competitive market, right?
Yeah,
I know where you're at, so that's why I threw that in there. But yeah. Tell everybody what market you're in so that they don't think that you must be the only realtor in town to be able to get a listing 4 months into doing a postcard campaign.
Right. So I am in, my farm is actually in Roseville, California, which is in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And my office is in Granite Bay, which is in our same county, but about 30 minutes away.
Wow.
And there are, I know of at least 4 agents that crazy farm my farm and that have been crazy farming my farm for a lot longer than me. So there is because I get those mailings because I live in my farm. So there is definitely a ton of competition.
So you're making a few enemies, but they can't necessarily be too mad at you because of you. Right. You have this fun, vibrant personality. I mean, how can they?
Yeah. How can they be mad? Exactly. And I've had to, you know, work with them when I'm representing a buyer too, you know, and we've talked about how we're in the same farm and how we're going to run into each other again. And now it's great to have a working relationship. So I'm definitely a kill them with kindness kind of gal and, you know, let's all work together. Cause I think that there's, you know, plenty of food for everyone. So
Yeah, and not only, I mean, it's a good point to make that it, not only the relationships with our clients matter, but the relationships within the industry matter as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. And so is there anything else that you feel that's adding to your success, or are you just, you hit the ball with social media and you're just rolling with that? And like, what else can be layered on top to give any other new agent out there the sense of, hey, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
What else, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you're doing?
I think the fact that I'm pretty hardcore with open houses. So that is definitely, I reach out to agents outside my brokerage, but I'm also strategic in who I ask. So everything everything I do is strategic. I really think about it. When I'm looking to reach out, if there's not an open house opportunity in my brokerage, one, I'm hyper-focused again on my farm. So I want to reach out to agents in my farm. And I look at agents that maybe are out of town that might be hard or inconvenient for them to hold an open house. And I look for, you know, independents, sometimes smaller brokerages, because I know a lot of the larger ones don't allow other brokerages to do that.
Right.
But I also look at their marketing because I do professional photos and professionally printed brochures, and I'm very a high quality vibe. Mm-hmm. And I want that in whatever house I'm marketing. So I look at the photos that they've used for their listing. And if it's something that, if it looks like a listing I would do, then I'm going to reach out. If it's somebody taking pictures with their, you know, iPhone 5, then maybe I'm not going to reach out to that one because then I don't feel like, you know, we have the same vibe. Okay. And so when I do open houses, I do a lot of stuff. I have a lot of swag. I have a lot of fun things. I give away, you know, our little French bulldog keychains, and I try to make it an experience because I think that's what people respond to.
Yeah.
I also have a, my broker coined this, the Nordstrom customer service approach. So I greet them, I approach, I say hi, I give them a flyer, and then I just back off and let them walk through the home. And by not following them around and by letting them take their time, I feel like they can experience what it's like to live there.
Sure.
And it's a better representation. And so I think I've been decently successful in getting open house clients because of that method. They don't feel high pressure.
Yeah.
And they end up coming to me and say, hey, can I give you my email and my phone number? And of course you're like, of course you can.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's definitely them approaching me for that versus me coming at them.
Right.
And that's very different too. A lot of most of what you read for real estate is, you know, they need to sign in and they need to do this and you need to get all that information. And I feel like that sets a more standoffish vibe from the get-go. So I'm more casual with it.
Right.
And seems to be working. And the agents that do allow me to hold an open house outside of my brokerage, I am very good at responding and communicating with them. I tell them about the success of my social media campaigns. Sometimes I pay for ads. And I say, look, we've had this many people come through. We've had this many people view the listing. And I give them a report back as if they're my boss.
So good.
because if they're going to trust me to do that, and I want them to trust me to do that in a future listing,
100%, yep.
The most I can do for them is tell them how many people walked in so they have data to give their seller.
Right.
So it's definitely a more partnership mentality with or without my brokerage involved, you know? So it's, we all got to work together. So why not make it a peaceful experience?
Yeah, no, I agree. So two questions. How many, since you said you're hardcore with it, how many per month are you doing?
I try to do 2 to 3 per month. So, which isn't a lot actually, if you think about it, peppering in, you know, my social life,
sure. lack thereof,
and family obligations, and my own listings and my own activities that I have going on with buyers. That's usually right. about the most I can do.
Yeah.
And again, it depends on how much inventory. In December, I wasn't getting that many because we didn't have a lot on the market. So
sure.
yeah, it's probably 2 to 3. If I can do one every weekend, you know, for a month, I will. It's mm-hmm. it's just a matter of my capacity and what I can do without sure. burning out too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what is your intention when you're holding an open house? What is the outcome you're looking for?
So I have two. One, I really do want to help sell the house, the actual house. So whether that's my listing or somebody else's, mm-hmm. I am in it to win it for that. And to get the buyer leads and to pick up new clients and seller leads, because I yeah. also target, you know, neighbors as well. So,
very true.
And brand recognition. I want them to see me and go to open houses and say, oh boy, she's kind of everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind that at all, you yeah. know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so in closing, what would you say to a new agent that isn't having the success that you had that maybe the first year, what kind of advice would you give a brand new agent?
Well, I would say find a marketing method that speaks to you, be consistent, and do it all the time, even when it feels like nothing's coming of it. Because social media is a lot like that. Mm-hmm. I throw it out there. I have no idea who's looking at it, who's not, with the algorithms and everything else in our way. I can't control that, but what I can control is engaging and doing as much as I can and staying consistent. I think that's a huge key in marketing yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and ask to hold open houses and ask to do things for other agents with or without your brokerage. There's a lot of really nice people out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these top agents, they're out there kicking ass and taking names. They don't have time to do open houses. So why not be their buddy and their assistant in that? I have one agent who's one agent, like I'm a broker. I have an agent friend that's not in my brokerage that I've made, and she's reached out a couple times and we've been strategizing on how to hold her houses open. So it's been yeah. such a great relationship to have.
Yeah.
But you have to get out there. You have to ask. You have to be okay with no. I mean, we're in sales. That's no is absolutely. Something we have to get used to.
Very true.
And just be consistent and stay with it. It will pay off. Mm-hmm. It's just, you have to keep it up. And a lot of people, I think that's where they fade. They come in strong, they get inspired. They say, this is great. I'm going to do this. And then they don't see an immediate result and just fade away. So I definitely say, keep it up, you know, and get creative and learn more about it. You know, I feel like I know this much out of this much of social media marketing, and, right. And it's already helping for me with the little bit I know. So that's my advice.
That's awesome. All right. So if anybody had a referral for you or wanted to reach out in any way, how could they get in touch with you?
Great. So you can call me or text me at 916-804-0503. Email me welcomehome@caseywallace.com, which love is it. A weird spelling, so I'm sure you'll take care of that for me. Facebook and Instagram, Casey Wallace Realtor, both handles on both of those. Message me. I'm pretty easy to find.
Very cool.
Google me.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this with me today. It's been eye-opening even for me to hear some of those things that you're doing to have first year success. And I just say good luck and keep it up. And I know that you're going to be wildly successful in this business. So
thank you so much. And I appreciate you having me. This has been really fun. I'm really excited to do this. Next Home actually has invited me to speak about hosting a killer open house with them. Go. And so this has been just really fun to really branch out and talk to other people. And I'm always willing to lend tips and stuff that I know, more than happy to help people reach success.
Perfect. Well, we love having you. And so we'll keep in touch and let us know if we can help you in any way. And we'll get this blasted out to as many people as possible to get you some more exposure.
Awesome. I love it.
All right. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.